Focus Up is more than an experience, it's a movement. How strong is your response? Are you the type of person who is interested in deriving results? My life's work has been dedicated to supporting, guiding, coaching, and strategizing with individuals, teams, and organizations throughout the country in order to garner the results they envision. Helping people bolster their resilience is one of the things I do. Within this conversation about the Focus Up Factor, there is a distinction at work that plays a vital role in being successful in all that you do. Obviously, everyone's definition of success is different. But for the purpose of this conversation, let's consider success in terms of completion, wholeness, and a sense of freedom within the mind, body, and spirit. While we could discuss each of these topics for hours in this communication, I am sharing insight and steps that can assist you in finding freedom in your thinking and allow room for a sense of wholeness, understanding, and perhaps even some relief. Have you ever noticed how two people of very similar circumstances in the exact same environment or culture with the same exact level of responsibility can have such a different experience of life? Perhaps you have a colleague or family member with whom you share close similarities in many ways. Yet one of you may be constantly overwhelmed or stressed while the other is light, carefree, and just seems to roll with it all, go with the flow. What is that? Even more importantly, why is that? I submit to you that it is the Focus Up Factor at work. Many would argue that the Focus Up Factor is something we are born with. Something or someone would argue it is something that we learn or mindfully develop over time. It truly does not matter if it is inherent within all of us or something learned or developed over time. What matters is that we become present to the need for and the mindful actions of it to step up and take action. The actions within this distinction of resiliency deliver a significant impact on one's life experience. The question is, how strong is your factor? On a scale from 1 to 10, with 10 being the strongest, where exactly would you authentically place yourself? A note of caution here, as I would ask you, stay with me in this conversation because the ego may have just said, oh, I have that handled. For those who may think that, allow me to ask a few things. In your day-to-day, week-to-week, or month-to-month, do you find yourself unable to catch up or get ahead? Are you ever anxious or worried? Do you feel overwhelmed more often than not? How is your energy and spirit? Are they less than what you would like or hope? These are only a few touch points to begin to measure the degree of your response. If you responded yes to any of those, or if you responded yes to all of them, stay with this conversation as you may find access to a path or insight to help prove things for you and those around you. There are so many factors that play into whether one is resilient or not resilient. One of the most relevant components is trust. I often have conversation with folks about trust. I have heard every personalized theory that individuals carry concerning trust, ranging from don't trust anyone to they have to earn my trust to I trust everyone completely. If you ever want to have an interesting conversation with colleagues and friends, just ask them to define the relationship to trust. You will most certainly learn far more than anticipated. When folks hold trust in such a way that it is somehow outside of themselves, I pose a question. If I gave you an empty container with the word trust painted on it and asked you to go out in the world and fill it up with trust, what would you come back with? Invariably, the person would answer, it probably would be empty. And that's damn right. That is because trust is something that resides within. Trust relates directly to resiliency and the level of belief we have within ourselves to figure it out or overcome and bounce back from whatever challenge circumstance, or adversity that is in front of us, I often ask folks about the level of degree of adversity they have faced in their life's journey. It is within those experiences of life that we truly learn just how resilient we are. It is also within our repeated exposures to adversity or challenging circumstances and then having to overcome them in order to move forward that we learn to trust within ourselves. Once developed, there is a deep and profound sense of that is left untaken, unshaken, for we know that no matter what shows up, we will bounce back and achieve the wholeness that is missing or the completion we seek. Yes, it may be hard or take time, but we know. However, even for the strongest of the strong, even though we carry deeply rooted trust of ourselves, periodically, a combination of circumstances, demands, responsibilities, deadlines, and the ever-present more, 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 and hurry, hurry, hurry of our day-to-day lives can contribute to our forgetting about how resilient we are. Once that occurs, the slide down the slippery slope of worry, anxiousness, upset, frustration, fear of letting others down, lost energy, unhappiness, and for some, a sense of hopelessness can begin. I am reminded of the visual of the proverbial snowball at the top of the mountain rolling downhill and growing larger and larger as it proceeds on its path. It can be daunting and feel insurmountable. Among the first steps to take is closely examining what erodes our sense of resiliency when it is needed most. As with anything we seek to change, we must first see it, or as I teach, make distinction of it by putting a framework around it and in order that it may be clearly seen. Once we see it, then we have access to a choice. Does this help me or doesn't it? Does it work or doesn't it? Once you have truly reflected and seen that something does not serve you well, you can then choose to take different actions to derive different outcomes. Choice is power. Awareness and informed mindfulness are essential keys that serve as the origin of change and improved outcomes. So there you are, standing at the crossroads of increasing demands and responsibilities and feeling that you're container of capacity is truly overflowing. What can be done? Is there a light at the end of the tunnel, or is this just the way it is? First things first, check in with yourself to be sure that the automatic response to the present way it is has not created a why bother anymore mentality, or that you are not perpetrating any sort of self-fulfilling prophecy. Each would be a natural derivative of being bogged down in all of the thought patterns and feelings covered so far. I might also suggest that you ask yourself at a very core level if you are truly committed to changing and shifting the way it has been. I know it sounds illogical to ask these questions, but do you want to restore energy, happiness, and wholeness, as odd it may be seen? Some folks actually become so conditioned to the way it has been that they just give up and feel that anything other than the way it is has been or is simply not possible. I refer to that as the distinction of resignation in action. But that paradigm can be changed. One way to do a gut check about this is to remind yourself of the real, deeply personal reasons that you do what you do. It is not about motivation. It is about a sense of purpose. If you can get back in touch with that, you can work your way back to the top of the mountain. Keep reminding yourself of it often. Another pitfall to be mindful of is that within the story of the way it has been, one can become prone to excuses, reasons, and blame, a lot of BCE, all of which enables you to be free from being accountable, or so you may think. But that is, in fact, the furthest from the truth. In the perception fueled by overwhelm, or the perception of the inability to bounce back or demonstrate resiliency, it becomes about things outside of oneself. The language of it sounds like, sorry, I did not get that done for you when I was supposed to. I just ran out of time and have way too much on my plate. Or, Sally, I am so sorry, I forgot our meeting, but John asked me to do 5 other things and I completely lost sight of our time. Basically, what happens is the individual's credibility, reliability, and trustworthiness goes out the window in the eyes of others. If such excuses become repetitive, for some it's temporary, for others it can be a way that they exist in life. The great news is, there are many things that can be done about it. The question is, are you truly, truly open and ready and committed to the power of choice, to reconnecting with the resilient self and getting beyond how it has been? Or do you enjoy how it has been, away from being average, going above the line? Earlier, I covered having developed trust in yourself through the history of your journey, or overcoming the challenges of adversity or difficult circumstances. Each day we hear the most amazing stories of people all over the world who have achieved, rebounded, succeeded, survived, or become whole, and the role that resilient thought and action played within their triumph. If you have been fortunate enough to have never had any form of adversity to overcome, then I would first say how rare you are. Second, I would suggest that you put yourself into situations and circumstances that make you uncomfortable so you can begin the quest of developing and building the muscle of resiliency and the deep, deep knowing that no matter what occurs, you can trust yourself and bounce back from whatever presents itself. Mindfully challenge yourself for it. It's through doing so that you will again gain clarity and perspective and a profound sense of the self-imposed limitations we all place upon ourselves. Once revealed, you then will have assessed to what is truly possible with a great sense of freedom. You should also examine how you automatically react to adversity or significant challenge. What do you tell yourself? It would be helpful to track and capture in writing what your actual inner thought process and self-talk becomes when dealing with adversity or challenging circumstances. Obviously, there are varying degrees of this. After capturing the thoughts from a number of situations or circumstances, look for the common denominator or repeatable patterns of what you tell yourself and how you feel. Then ask yourself if it is working well for you or not. For example, if you have lost your job, certainly one of life's possible adversities and challenges, does the eternal self-talk say, oh no, what am I going to do? Am I going to lose everything I ever worked for? And you feel full of fear and failure? Or is it, I am a talented contributor that others will find great value in, and you feel excited about new possibilities and confident in your ability to gain new employment? Within each example, you can see the dominant thought process and how those thought patterns lead to an entirely different set of actions and outcomes. When you capture the thoughts, try not to edit them so that they sound good. What is the actual language you see or hear? If you see that the dominant thoughts are not serving you well, you must work to reshape the thinking. One way is to ask yourself in those moments and each day until you are beyond the situation, what am I forgetting right now? Often, when in the darkness of what may feel like the most challenging of circumstances, human nature and the mind have a way of lending their own input to the mix. Think back and consider all the times when you were so worried that something was going to be a certain way or turn out a certain way. What happened? More often than not, the very thing that you spend so much time worrying over never even happened, did it? I always say, you can't worry enough to affect an outcome. Rather than allowing the mind to run on automatic pilot and excessively spin way out of perspective, it may be helpful to apply informed mindfulness and awareness. Pause and ask yourself what you may be forgetting in those moments. Another helpful question to ask yourself is, what is it that I don't know that I need to know right now? The fear of the unknown is way up there on the top 10 list of things that can shift the wholeness of mind, body, and spirit. The ideal is to deliberately work to reshape the thinking to thoughts of fact, action, and possibility. Work to validate what is right. Another significant contributor to losing sight of our resiliency has to do with control. When you have the experience of losing control or of control being lost, the feeling generally associated shortly thereafter is anxiety, and invariably overwhelm begins to take hold. For those who like things in their place and need to have everything just so, the experience of losing control can be blinding. It can take over all sense of rational thought and provide quite a lot of momentum down that slippery slope. It can almost seem as if there is no way out. It is not a fun place to be, and as shared, it can really cause you to forget the facts concerning your true ability. It wouldn't be so bad if we only had one demand or one deadline in the entire year. However, simply by that nature of our society today, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of demands, deadlines, and priorities as part of our lifestyle, day for day and throughout the day. It is very helpful to write down the list of all the areas in which you feel you have lost control or control has been lost, and then apply your problem-solving skills to the list to see what steps you can take to restore control. Start at the top of the list and work your way down, chunk for chunk. Break it up. It does not have to be done at once. The key is to start and to see it through. Discipline. By the time you get midway through the list, you will begin to notice that you feel markedly better as you complete things one after the other. Restore wholeness and relieve the fears, worries, and concerns mindfully bothering you. In other words, you have begun the process of recapturing your resiliency. Focus Up with Ken Johnson. It's more than an experience. It's a movement. The Focus Up Factor.